May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Genesis, beginning in chapter 37, is the story of Joseph. And Joseph was one of Jacob's sons. And he was the firstborn of Rachel, who was the woman that he loved dearly. Now he was also, long story, not enough time, married to Leah, Rachel's older sister, who he really didn't love. And what you would normally do is give the birthright to the oldest son. But Joseph wasn't the oldest son. Reuben was. But Reuben was born by Leah. But Joseph was the firstborn of Rachel. And because she was the one he loved, he gave the birthright to Joseph. And it was in the form of the very colored tunic that he wore. It was a symbol that he was the heir. And for lots of reasons, there was a lot of jealousy, of course, and among all of his other half-brothers, and they hated him, actually, because of the father's favor. And Joseph made some mistakes, and others hated him and talked bad about him and mistreated him, and in the end, they threw him into a pit, thinking he was going to die, and he got delivered out of the pit, and some Ishmaelites took him to Egypt, and he ended up being in prison for a number of years and a slave to a guy named Potiphar. And it's a great story, and so I love telling the details of the story, but I don't want to focus on all that. But God had given Joseph this dream, and this dream was that he would rule one day and have a lot of authority, and yet everything was going in the wrong direction. But in the end, because of a set of circumstances, he actually ended up, after a 13-year journey of everything seemingly going wrong, he's elevated supernaturally by God to the place of being second in command of the most powerful nation in the world, Egypt. And he was in charge of everything. Pharaoh just took a nap, like a long nap, and let Joseph run everything. At the end of the book, I love in chapter 50 when Joseph is talking to his brothers who tried to kill him, who mistreated him, who talked terrible about him and tried to kill him. And when they finally eventually discover that he isn't dead, that this is this man who's so powerful is actually running this nation, Joseph says to them in verse 19 of Genesis 50, "But Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for I am in God's place.'" They were afraid, even though Joseph had been assuring them he wouldn't, that he would get even. He was in a position, he had the power to do it, because that's what they deserve. They're really walking through a lot of guilt and repentance, but they're afraid of him because they're afraid he's going to take revenge on them. And Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive." Now, notice what Joseph said. He said, look, this is between you and God in terms of what God's going to do in light of what you've done. I'm not in God's place. And he says, don't be afraid. There's no vengeance in my heart. He said, you did mean it for evil, but that's not the real issue. That doesn't really matter. What really matters is that God meant it for good, that I might end up in this present place that I'm in, that I end up in this present result. What's the present result? He's one of the most powerful men in all the world, extremely wealthy, had great power. And so even though they had tried to destroy his life, somehow sovereign God, who's amazingly brilliant and wise, used all the things they did to bring him to the present result that God always had for him. See, what happens is that when particularly circumstances don't go the way you think they're going to go or anticipated, or there's a sharp reversal, or people don't treat you the way you think you should be treated, if you're misunderstood, Luke talks about loving those, praying for those who mistreat you. Sometimes people mistreat you and or talk bad about you, whatever. And all you can see and all you can feel is what's going on that's going wrong, the evil that's being meant. Because in the end, the devil's behind all that. God tempts no man to evil. God didn't put it in the heart of his brothers to try to kill him. But even though the devil was involved and people, fallen people were involved, see, their storyline is still God's in control. And when he got put in Potiphar's slavery for 11 years and says, and God was with him and made him successful. I don't know how successful you can be as a slave, but I guess as successful you can be as a slave, he was. And then we got thrown in jail and it says that God was with him and God gave him success because he ended up being in charge of all the jail, though he was still in prison awaiting death. And here's the thing. When something bad happens that you're not expecting, it doesn't feel like God's with you at all. And it seems like God, that the enemy's winning. But the truth is there, is that God's really there. He's present. And he's working out something that you can't see. And regardless of the evil intent, it's so easy. This is my own confession. It's so easy to focus in on the evil intent and allow your mind to be consumed with that. But you see, Joseph had no revenge. He even said in chapter 45, don't be angry with yourselves. I'm thinking, you're kidding me. I mean, when somebody mistreats you or mistreats me, I spend a lot of time in imaginary conversations about how to say the things so they'll really understand or something's going to happen to them. It's about getting even, right? There's a debt here and you're going to pay this debt and it's not fair if you don't, right? I mean, maybe I'm the only one who ever does that, but I'm pretty good at that, actually. Or we can believe what we can't see and can't feel is that the Lord's present here. And no matter what the evil intent is, by even the, just the devil and the circumstance, God's got something going on that's good. And he wins. You know, the only way he can lose if your attitude gets bad and then you're playing right into the devil's hands. And then you come back to this, that's where I was leading to. This is Ephesians chapter 1. Hear these verses. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. According, the word according, literally you could, it dominates. It's a word that means, this is what dominates what's going on. So what's dominating is, he said, is the kind intention of his will. To the praise and the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in wisdom and insight. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intentions, which he purposed, the Father purposed in Jesus. Twice, kind intentions. Made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intentions with a view to administration suitable to the fullness of time, that is the summing of all things in Christ, this present result. In the end, no matter what's going on, let me read this next little verse. It'll make even more sense. Also, we have obtained inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. He doesn't cause all things, but he does work all things after the counsel of his will. And the counsel of his will, you know, God's own thoughts, taking counsel in his own thoughts, okay, what about this, and this is going to happen, they're going to make that bad choice, they're going to mistreat them, the situation's going to happen, because man has free will, there is a devil on the earth. But God's so brilliant. It's in his own mind, like, just like that, like, wow, okay. I'm going to cause this to work together for good. The enemy may be meaning it for evil. This person may mean it for evil against this person. But this person has yielded to me and they're trusting me. And so my kind intentions prevail here. And what's really happening here, the real story here in your life is that he's present. And his kind intentions is prevailing. And in the end, it'll sum up Christ. Christ's person, his presence, his purposes in your life. Now, it may take you some time to get there where you see that in the natural, but you can know that. And that's what he believed. That's why he never gave in to bitterness, never gave in angry or revenge. Because the evil that was intended wasn't the story. The counsel of God's will, who works all things after the counsel of his will, and the counsel of his will is always filled with kind intentions. God's will for you is dominated by kind intentions. And it doesn't matter what happens or what other people do to you. They may mean it for evil. The devil may mean it for evil, but God means it for good. It's being dominated by his presence, and you can know his presence as you walk through it, if you walk in faith. But it's dominated by his kind intentions. And you can trust that. Even if you don't see it on this side, one day you'll go to heaven and go, oh, wow, all these other cool things would have never happened, Lord. A apart from this, going through this. You just stole that thing right out of the enemy's hands, and you just worked your purposes. Because your kind intentions, not their evil intentions, not the devil's evil intentions, are what's the dominant storyline here. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.